Okay.
Awesome. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for taking time for this. I really appreciate it. Before we start, as we start, can you talk about your current role and what's in kind of falls within your purview?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jamie Walker, and I'm currently the Senior Vice President of Marketing at Key Factor. So all of global marketing is under my role. So anything from brand, product marketing, demand gen, content, design, ABX programs, you name it, it all kind of falls under
Everything.
myself and my amazing leadership team that I have to support it.
Awesome. Awesome. And can you maybe talk a little bit how did you get into cybersecurity marketing?
Yeah, I don't know if I have necessarily a traditional path. You know, I spent many years in kind of B2B SaaS tech. And then an opportunity arose where, you know, there was a growing company, you know, not based out of Ohio, but also had a strong presence in Atlanta. I had just moved to Atlanta. So I was looking to make a change, and Key Factor kind of just popped up, and it was a attractive space. I had been in healthcare IT previously, so I'd spent a lot of years in B2B tech and healthcare IT. So when I knew that I wanted a new role, it was either cybersecurity, because my husband was the one that had influenced me in saying, "Hey, this is a great industry. You got to tap into it." And so the opportunity arose, and I just applied for the job, and it kind of went from there. So I started off at Key Factor, and I was the vice president of global demand gen. And then shortly after that, I would say 5 months, I was, you know, leading the team, and it's been an amazing ride ever since. And I've learned a lot, I think, about the industry and the excitement, but also the challenges that, you know, we have as marketers is, yeah, getting through a very noisy space right now, but a very necessary space to be in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to your point, it seems like there is so much attention these days in cybersecurity, and there's so much VC money that's going into the space. It seems like up until recently, every other week there was a new startup raising, you know, tens
Yep.
of millions of dollars. And the first thing they do as soon as they have a product, they start spending on all things sales and marketing. And to your point, well, one, it's obviously a noisy space, but also it seems a lot of professionals, marketing professionals, are looking into the space trying to make a career. For someone who is more just starting, maybe more junior, or maybe even in college, just looking at the space and figuring out how to make a career, where do you recommend, what are the kind of top three things where they should be spending their time?
Yeah, that's a great question, because oftentimes if I'm speaking to, like, one of the best things I enjoy is mentorship. And helping people kind of navigate, you know, getting into the workforce or you're changing careers. And so I've had this conversation a lot lately with many different folks because of this changing environment. And if you're new, I would say it's, you know, marketing has become a very specialized space. And so I always say now for leadership, there's very, you know, you're either product focused, you're very brand heavy, you're very demand focused when you're getting into marketing leadership positions. But when you're starting, you really just need to kind of get your toes wet. You need to dip in and figure out where is your passion, because it starts, a lot of people will start off in a generalist position. So even it could be, you know, marketing admin or field marketing is another area where I'm seeing a lot of people starting to understand kind of how to navigate, especially if you're in B2B, because it's not just a B2B SaaS, because it's not just getting in there and you know, figuring things out. You're generally having to measure everything you do. So field marketing has been a really great place. I hired a field specialist at the beginning of this year. She was very new and green, had just come out of college, and she's thriving and really understanding what she loves to do. And I also would say, like, writing is a piece of marketing that, get if you're going to get into it, being a writer is kind of a necessity in marketing these days. And so passions in writing and communications and content are another place where I see a lot of marketers starting their career. And as I even coach my daughter now, as you know, my daughter's 11 years old, and I was like, if there's two courses that I want you to do really well in, it's writing, because she has such a creative mind, and you know, reading, right? Those are two really important things that she needs to be. Oh, and math. That was the other thing. It was writing and math, because marketing has become very scientific and everything's based on data these days.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's great. And well, communication at the end of the day, if you can't convey your thoughts, then how can you manage people? How can you tell your story to your potential clients? It's certainly
Yeah.
at the core of a lot of things that we do. Absolutely. And kind of to that point, it seems the again, it's becoming, cybersecurity is becoming a busy space. Companies kind of, they're grasping for growth sometimes, and the product lines are starting to blur. What's been successful for you in telling the story that's kind of unique and in ways that kind of builds the brand recognition and the story is specific to your team, as being distinct from maybe some of the other players?
Yeah,
which is probably, it's probably kind of very interesting because I think Keyfactory is fairly like acquisitive company. I think it's also as it kind of bring other teams on board, how to make sure it's kind of a consistent message that speaks to different, to strengths of different products, but presents this kind of unified front for potential clients.
No, that's a really good question. And I would say it's something that's ever changing. So that we went through a merger last year. So we went through a merger where we had merged with a company that was based out of Europe. And so not only are you having new products, but you're having new markets that, you know, that we were playing in, but now we're obviously playing a lot deeper, you know, acquiring, you know, a whole new customer base and being able to speak the language and being able to use commonalities in language and communications in the United States is not the same, and how you refer to things in different markets like Germany, or in Spain, or even in the UK or France. So I would say that's been the ever-changing. We really focus on what are our differentiators. You know, when you think about brand and strategy and you think about positioning, it's all about the differentiators against you're competing within the environment. So I think that we take a pretty, you know, every marketer, I think every marketing team does this, but I would say that's kind of where we have been. We have a really great product marketing team when it comes to having the persona fit and really having a strong alignment, not just with sales, but technical sales and the engineering internally. That's really helped us develop kind of the right content. You know, you need a lot of content that speaks to that audience. And we've done a really great job of just kind of aligning that and aligning our use cases and our differentiators and going to market with making sure we're doing it in not a abrasive, scary way. You know, in cybersecurity, you see a lot of other marketers like, let's scare you into wanting to buy us. And we don't take that approach. You know,
if you don't buy a product, you'll get breached tomorrow.
Exactly. Like that's the last thing we do. So it's like, you gotta tap into emotion, but we really try to work and understand like, what are the buyer's challenges, whether it's, you know, challenge of a remote workforce, right? When I started at Keyfactor, it was in the heart of the pandemic. So it's really getting into what are these people feeling? What is their everyday life? What are, you know, we know we have very, you know, three specific use cases into why people, you know, purchase us and why they need us. And so instead of just, we tap into understanding and kind of getting into that mindset of the emotion versus the scaring you into, you know, needing our products.
And how do you do that? I mean, how do you figure out, essentially, I guess the question is, the way I see kind of this, you mentioned you have a great relationship with your sales team. Salespeople usually they're kind of incentivized to make their number, grow revenue. But it seems like at any given point of time, like just if we look at total addressable market, only a portion of that is ready to buy.
Right.
5%, 10%. And when they are, then life is good. They talk to your salespeople, they book demos, they consume your, they attend the webinars and consume your marketing content. And they kind of, in various ways, they raise their hand. And this information is fairly easy to capture with all the marketing tools, the attribution tools that you mentioned. It's very quantitative. But the truth is, a large portion of total addressable market at any given point in time, I know, 60, 70, 80%, they're qualified potential clients, but they're more upstream in their journey. Maybe they're problem aware, maybe they're category aware, solution aware, but they still need some education, maybe rejiggering of their priorities so that they kind of either by themselves or with your help, walk themselves towards that point where they're ready to engage with your sales team. And it's also, and sometimes I see salespeople being overly aggressive, understandably so, they have incentive to be that, to be kind of very proactive. But their, I guess, reflex, they see everyone as a potential client and they try to cram everyone, 100% of the total potential market through the sales funnel. And naturally, well, we talk to CISOs and kind of other senior cybersecurity executives. We see sometimes there's a little bit of pushback because they're not ready. Not they're
still
qualified.
Yeah.
the C-level executives, large company, they're just not quite there yet. So how do you, what works for you? How do you deal with kind of reconciling those a little bit different worlds?
Yeah, I think the balance of prioritization, and again, going back to the sales teams are focused on selling, closing deals, you know, all day, every day. That's their job. So the way that I think we've been successful and the way that I align with our sales team is really just on prioritization of time and usage. So we have, you know, our universe of accounts and companies that we sell to has, yes, we have a giant TAM, but the universe that we're trying to go after is very finite in each market. And so we really, I guess, goes back to using a data-driven approach, as in we have our sales team, our BDR team, they focus on accounts that are in market. So that are showing buyer intent signals. When you think of, you know, outbound and inbound, we have motions that are going, you know, working synergistically, but it's all based on the fact that someone is showing intent. We do not go after accounts that are cold and have not had any sort of buying signals. And so once you have that, then you got to, you know, find the right person, and then you're trying to influence a lot of other people. But that's where I think the alignment with sales is. And I was having a conversation with a CMO over at Visa yesterday. So we were just chatting, having a catch up, and we were talking about sales and marketing alignment. And first, you needing to be, we're measured, and it's all about how you're measured. So we look at our numbers, and we're measured, and we're incentivized to go after the same thing. So I think a lot of times, like, we don't talk, you know, MQLs, they don't, that terminology isn't something we use here. Yes, we focus on actionable leads and what's happening as, you know, the kind of downstream of what's going to happen to open opportunity. But really, it's just more along the lines of, like, here's a sales use case that marketing's supporting. So when we build our kind of account, we, you know, we're very account based here at Key Factor. When we built the whole idea of this program, we had a sales mindset first, and then we put the marketing lens on that. And I think that is how we were able to get our channel team, our, you know, our sales team, everyone kind of bought into the strategy, because we started with their end goal in mind first. And then we knew how to map into it. And we knew how, you know, marketing all day, we know how to engage accounts. We know the tactics that we need to do in order to get them to show activity. But we wanted to start in getting the alignment with our sales by focusing on what's going to make them really successful. How can they focus on their evergreen accounts and get support from marketing? And how can we make sure that our SDRs are just using the time they have to, you know, to prospect in the most efficient way in order to, you know, set a meeting? And all the numbers of doing that. And, you know, if we look at our, you know, we're growing at a rapid rate over here. So all of that's working. And I think it all starts with the hardest part about account base is getting alignment between sales. And so we kind of started with the hardest part and then worked our way back into building the market.
That's great. Because I often see marketing just throws leads over the wall, and then sales like, oh, they're no good, and we need more, and it's yeah. Nothing closes. And it, well, it, I'm exaggerating, but kind of to make a point. But this is a great. It sounds like you found a way to find this alignment that actually makes sense. That's kind of final outcome. I mean, top line revenue driven, and kind of working backwards and making sure that the marketing motion supports the sales use case. I think it's great. I know we're coming up on time, so last question.
That was really quick.
This is fun. Let's say you have a crystal ball and you can see the future. And 12 months from now, cybersecurity marketing will be the top three most effective ways to kind of move the ball forward to be successful. Is it? Is it events? Is it field activities? Is it what content? What do you think will be the most effective 12 months from now for everyone?
For everyone, I don't know if I can.
Say oh well, for not for everyone in screen marketing.
Yeah, I think the power of community. So you hear a lot of companies about community. So community can be driven through field activity. So when I think about that, that's something we're really focused on here, is building community through different, not for communities can be of DevOps community, that can be of CISO communities, different types of communities, and really just offering education. So that's where the content piece comes in. We're trying to create experiences and content that is educational and not key factor self-serving, it's our customer self-serving. So I think that when I look at the, you know, 12 months from now, we're going to be focusing on community. We're going to be, you know, we're already hot and heavy into an event, and it's not just trade show events, it's experiences. So it's micro events and experiences that, you know, just get people to connect. And I think when people start connecting together, that's when conversations happening, and it's without being pushy is when you start having the conversations that then lead to business, that then lead to, closed deals. And we're here, we're trying to build trust with our customers. We're trying to build trust all around. I think, you know, back to the point where I was talking about sales and marketing, things work well because there's trust between sales leadership and marketing leadership. The same thing happens, I think, on the, you know, the external side, is that we're trying to build trust within our customers and with our, you know, our prospects that we're, you know, hoping to be customers someday. And so you do that through words and communications and content and delivering experiences and providing community so that they can be around like folks that are doing the exact same thing they're trying to do. And you know, at the end of the day, people just want to learn how to do their jobs and how to be successful. And I think that's just what we're trying to do over here.
It makes a lot of sense, because it's, I think if you have the patience and to play the long game and not make it transactional, I think people really, I think this, people respond to that very well. They understand that you see someone as a person with their kind of personal agendas and needs and wants, and just not see them as a lead, but see them as a human being. I think it goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Be more customer centric. If I could tell any marketers, focus on that. It's really hard, but if you focus on that, that is when you start seeing the results down the road. It's awesome. Marketing is not a short game ever, ever. So play
for
it along.
For sure. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for your time. This was awesome. This was so fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great to chat with you.